Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Lamentations chapter 3. In verse 15, He has filled me with bitterness. This is an edifying Christmas message. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. Wormwood is simply bitter circumstances. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. Yes, this is talking about God. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. Now get this. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my afflictions and misery. The wormwood and the gall, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. What happened here? This is a really painful passage. And this is a person, hence why it's so painful, who's lost hope. This is somebody who is completely hopeless. That's why he said, my strength and my hope have perished. I don't have any hope. I'm hopeless. There's nothing that I see that's of any positive value. Everything that I see is working against me. Every person that I know, somehow I'm not happy about that relationship. Everything to me is bitter and negative. This is a person who has lost hope. Sometimes we enter periods of our lives where this can come in, where you're simply challenged by things that are constantly seeming negative to you, and it's possible to lose hope. In Isaiah 57:10, the Word of God says, "You are wearied in the length of your way." Now, this is God speaking. You are wearied in the length of your way. Yet, you did not say there is no hope. You have found the life of your hand, and that simply means you found something that'll enliven you, that'll quicken you. You found something that'll encourage you and bring strength to you. Therefore, you were not grieved. Now, this is the other way to handle similar situations. You're wearied in the length of the way. The situations are difficult, they're negative, relationships are failing you, things are not going your way, you see nothing positive. You're wearied in the length of your way. Yet, at the same time, you did not say there is no hope. Why? Because you turned to something, you found a source that enlivens you, that quickens you, that provides for you, that gives you hope. Therefore, you are not grieved. Then it continues in verse 11, and this is the opposite. And of whom have you been afraid or feared that you have lied and not remembered me, nor taken it to your heart? Is it not because I have held my peace, that is to say that I have been patient, from old, that you do not fear me? What happens when we lose hope? When you lose hope, you get to this point where everything is bitter. There's no joy in anything. Everything is a burden. Everything is a chore. There's nothing that encourages. There's nothing that enlivens you. There's nothing that helps you along. However, in that situation, you can have a source, even though things are difficult, you can have a source that strengthens you. However, if you don't find that source, why not? That's what it's asking in Isaiah 57:11. Why not? Of whom were you afraid that you have lied and not remembered me? Of whom were you afraid that you said to yourself, God is not my provision, God is not my source, God is not kind to me, God will not be my friend? Who caused you to believe that one? Who caused you to forget the faithfulness and the kindness and the gentleness and the goodness of God? Who caused you to think that way? And then he answers the question, is it not because I've been patient that you have stopped fearing me? Is it not the fact that I have been patient toward you? And you can ask people this who are in sin. Is it not the fact that I'm patient toward you that you enter into sin? Now remember, whatever is not of faith is sin in Romans 14:23. That means that that person who has lost hope, is it not because you lost your fear of God? Is it not that you lost your reverence and your understanding of the kingship of God? Is it not also that you have lost your regard for the throne of grace? That you have lost hope? Now, that may sound a little rough on the surface, but honestly, it's not. You have to identify what's going on before you can correct what's going on. If I have the proper regard and reverence for God as the King, then I will have the proper reverence and regard for the throne of grace. At the throne of grace, I find two things. I find mercy and I find help. Well, hopelessness is helplessness. I have the sense of being helpless. I have the sense of not being able to do anything about my circumstance. I have the sense of nothing's going to make this better. And therefore, because I sense that there is no help, I also have no hope. Well, the throne of mercy provides help. But if I don't run to the throne of mercy, it's because I've forgotten about the throne of mercy. If God allows me to stay in a situation for a long time, it's because God is patient toward the circumstance and toward me in the circumstance. If I continue in sin for a long time, and I say to myself, God will wink at the sin, it's because God is patient and I think that He'll do nothing about it. If my situation that is difficult for me continues, it's because God is patient and I say to myself, God will do nothing to improve my situation. Where is that written? The throne of grace is a throne of mercy and it's a place where I find help in time of need. So in a hopeless situation, I run to God. In a hopeless situation, I look to the promises of God. I don't look at the situation, and this is what people do sometimes. They look at their situations. Well, in Numbers 21:8, when Israel was plagued with poisonous snakes, this was bad. They entered into an area of the wilderness that was just filled with these poisonous snakes. And people were getting bit all over the place, and a lot of people died because of it, because they were poisonous. And Israel called out to God, and God said to Moses, make a fiery serpent. Fiery simply is a way of saying poisonous, and they called it fiery because the poison burned when you got bit. So they called them fiery snakes. He said, make a fiery serpent and put it on a pole. That's a picture of Christ. When somebody looks at the fiery serpent, instead of at their snake bite, they're going to live. If they look at their snake bite, if they look at the problem, if they look at the negativity, if they look at the person, if they look at the circumstance, it's going to kill them. But if they look at this brazen serpent, they will live. That serpent, that brass snake, who was the representation of Christ, dying for us, that is your hope. And that hope is what gives you life. So never get into this situation where you say to yourself, well, God will not come through for me. Where you say to yourself, God is ignoring me. Sometimes people say, God has forgotten me. None of that is true. Those are all lies that the enemy brings to keep you in a discouraged state so you never get victory, never experience the life that God has for you. None of that is true. In 1 Kings 20:28, the Assyrians attacked Israel, saying that God is a God of the hills, not a God of the valleys. In other words, God is only a God in the good times, not in the bad times. There it says, a man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is a God of the hills, but not a God of the valleys, therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Now the Assyrian army was very powerful. They were what we would call a superpower. It was an enormous army. And they conquered a lot of countries. But that was meaningless before God. The Assyrians tried to discourage Israel against trusting God. As a matter of fact, at one point when the Assyrian army encircled Jerusalem, basically not letting anything in, so they couldn't get food in, they couldn't get farming done, they couldn't get anything. They were just going to starve them out. And the Assyrian general said to the Israelites, why do you trust in God? All these other nations trusted in their gods and we conquered them. Why do you trust in yours? Do you think your God will come through for you when all the other gods didn't come through for them? Why don't you spare yourself and simply give up? Now, at that time, Hezekiah was king. Hezekiah was a pretty good king. He made one mistake. It was a costly mistake, but he made one mistake. But overall, he was a really good king. And he said to Israel, don't listen to them. With them is the arm of the flesh. In other words, natural ability. Yeah, they're a big army. But with us is the hand of the Lord. With us, we have God on our side. So don't be afraid. You know, whatever takes place in your life, do not be afraid because you have God on your side. It's very tempting to be afraid even though you have God on your side. Never be afraid. You've got God on your side. In Daniel 10:19, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be with you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. You've got God on your side. Now, Daniel was a guy who was thrown into the lion's den to be shredded by lions. What happened there? He was tired, so he laid down, and he fell asleep, and the lions left him alone. Now, everybody before that who was thrown in there, the lions ate him. Daniel, he wasn't that worried about it. He went in the lion's den, laid down, he had a long day, took a nap, and the lions left him alone. Nothing can touch you. Don't ever think your situation is hopeless. Nothing can touch you. Even if it looks bad, then stop looking at what it looks like. You trust God because nothing can touch you. God is a God of the good times and He is a God of the bad times. And in both times, He's going to come through for you. And if not today, then tomorrow. If not tomorrow, then eventually. God will come through for you. Don't ever think to yourself that He's not. Now, we have this bad tendency. Things get bad. And we start to feel sorry for ourselves. And then we pile up all the negative thoughts because we're feeling sorry for ourselves. Galatians 6:8 says, he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. You give your flesh a whole lot of negativity because you're feeling sorry for yourself, and that's not going to help you. That will make your situation a whole lot worse. He who sows to the Spirit will reap of the Spirit everlasting life. Now, everlasting life is not so much a duration as a quality. Everlasting life belongs to God. So you receive God's life impartation from the Holy Spirit when you sow to the Holy Spirit. How do I sow to the Holy Spirit? The Word of God, prayer, meditation, the things that focus you on the Holy Spirit and what He's bringing to you. And then you start experiencing God's quality of life in your difficult circumstance. And then it continues in verse 9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Now, self-pity enforces losing heart. Fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit in your difficulties will promote you not losing heart. It is very encouraging. It doesn't matter what the nature of the difficulty is. It always works this way. You run to God every time because when you do, you find mercy and you find help. In Lamentations 3:21, it continues, "This I recall to my mind." Now here's the solution. "Therefore, I have hope." This is what I'm going to think about, and as a result of that, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, that is, destroyed. This situation will not destroy me because God is merciful to me. Because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Every morning means every beginning. So at the beginning of everything, including the beginning of every moment, God's compassions are new. That's saying that God's compassions can never be used up. They never get worn out. There's never less of it because I used some of it earlier. They're always fresh. Great is God's faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, and this is a big one. This is one of the reasons why people enter into things. Something or someone becomes what they rely on for their satisfaction or contentment or happiness or whatever. But here he's saying, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is who I rely on for my satisfaction, my happiness, my contentment, and so on. Says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. Where's my hope? My hope is in Him. My hope is not in my circumstance. My hope is not in other people. My hope is in God. Why? Because He cannot disappoint me. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. And this is another one of those things. This has been going on so long, God. How can I endure this? This is taking forever. Will You ever come through for me? Will I ever be delivered? Will I ever receive what I desire from You? Will I ever get the answer to prayer? The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. The soul who seeks Him. Now get this. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for deliverance, rescue, and help of the Lord. It is good for a man, or a woman for that matter, to bear the yoke, the burden, in his youth. Why would I want to bear burdens in my youth? Because you need to grow up. Eventually, every young person has to become an adult, and you're not going to become an adult the easy way. There is no such thing. You have to face your challenges in order to develop the maturity and the character that you're going to need to have a successful life. Now, today, in our country, and young people, you need to be aware of this. And this isn't just true in our country, this is true in a lot of the world. there's a crisis of maturity. There's a severe lack of it. People think like children. And I'm not even talking about 16-year-old children. I'm talking about 8-year-old children. People think like children. And everything becomes about how they feel and what they like and what they don't like. Everything is about me. It's very childish thinking. This is also why so much of the world is having so many problems. The riots we see in our country sometimes, it's about thinking like children. It's being selfish. I like it, I don't like it. If I don't like it, I'm going to burn something down. If I don't like it, I'm going to go riot somewhere. It's thinking like children. The other part of thinking like children is you do for me, you do for me, you do for me. And if you don't get it, you throw a little hissy fit. That's thinking like children. Challenges get you out of thinking like children. Now, if you're 8 years old, that's understandable, but you cannot stay there. And parents do their best that even if an 8-year old does that, to get them out of that. You cannot stay there. But unfortunately, so much of our country, so much of the world is there. And we have a lot of problems because of it. Very little good thinking going on today. Young people learn how to think. And the only way to think is to think with the Word of God, because otherwise you're not thinking in reality. You're thinking in hopelessness, but not in reality. Learn how to think with God. Learn what it means to be mature. No hissy fits. That's child material. If you don't learn it when you're young, you might never learn it. Because you train up a child in the way he should go and he will not depart from it when he's old. Why are 30, 40, 50, 60, 70-year-olds acting like children today? Because they didn't learn it when they were young. They learned childishness, they learned selfishness, they learned self-centeredness, they learned pride. And nowadays, it's all about childishness and self-centeredness and selfishness and pride. And if I don't get what I want, oh, you're going to pay. They'll even tell you that sometimes. They'll warn you in advance. If I don't get what I want, you're going to pay. Unfortunately, once they're adults, it's really hard to change and you can't spank them. But you know what? God sure can. And he does. Young people, don't fight maturity. Another thing for young people, don't identify with the world. Sometimes people identify with worldliness. Oh, that's a bad idea. Why? Because Satan is the god of this world system. But for young people, sometimes the world is flashy and exciting and fun until it kills you. And that's not so flashy and exciting and fun. I remember when I was a kid in sixth grade, we had a science teacher. He was a really good guy. And he had this poster on his wall. He actually had several. He had several posters on his wall. I'll never forget the one. It was an old guy with no teeth, and he was on oxygen because he couldn't breathe, and it said, smoking is debonair. You know what debonair means? Sophisticated. Something to be admired. It said, smoking is debonair. No, They'll get into it when they're young, but they pay for it when they're old. That's childishness. Young people, watch out for that kind of thing. Don't identify with the world. A lot of young people identify with the world nowadays. And if you've done it before, then don't worry about it. God takes away sin. But don't identify with the world. The world is not a good place. The kingdom of God, that's a good place. The body of Christ, that's a good place. You be a light to the world. You don't identify with the world. You let the world learn how to identify with the kingdom that you represent. You don't identify with the kingdom they represent. When difficult times come, never lose hope. God, in Hebrews 4:15, gets how you feel. He understands it. He was tried just like you're tried. He was tested just like you're tested. He gets it. But because He gets it, you can come to Him. Now, in John 15:7, if you abide in me, that is to say in the love of God, and my words abide in you, you can ask anything that you will, and it will be done for you. That is a pretty amazing promise, especially in difficult times. If you keep yourself in the love of God, and you keep the word of God in your frame of reference, then you can ask God for absolutely anything, and He will do it for you. That's a promise. When you have a promise like that, hope is not going to go away. Keeping hope when you have promises like that, that becomes a very easy, very pleasant, very edifying situation. You see, it's not the circumstance that makes things hard. It's how you think in the circumstance that makes it easy or that makes it hard. Your circumstances have no impact. They're simply triggers. It's your thinking where the difference is. And if you have hope, it's because you're thinking along with the promises of God in every circumstance. You do that and you can't lose hope. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."